He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider for Clutch Points, joined on this fine Wednesday afternoon, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, probably the biggest drinking night of the year, by Raj Chapalu. Raj, you called it something before, like you and I were texting back and forth before, like it was a blackout.
What? Blackout Wednesday. Yeah, actually somebody texted me a little earlier and they're like, are you doing Blackout Wednesday? And then I just put two and two together because you were like, are you, you know, you said it's the biggest drinking night of the year. So I'm guessing that's what they call it nowadays, Blackout Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, we just used to call it like Wednesday when I was in college. But it was like, yeah, I remember because I went to school locally, right? So I went to Cal State Fullerton and I went to high school at Esperanza High out there in Anaheim. So like it was like right down Imperial Highway from where I went to high school. So when I was in college, you would, you know, on Thanksgiving, there were a couple bars. There was like Canyon Inn, which was at the end of Orangethorpe. And then there was an old TGI Fridays, actually, that was in the Savvy Ranch Parkway. Mm-hmm. And either of those places, if you basically went there on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, that was like a high school reunion, you know. Okay. And a certain old high school crowd hung out at the Canyon Inn, and then a certain crowd hung out at the TGI Fridays. And I always found myself, I always kind of preferred the Fridays because they had better food. And so like I never even like called it a Blackout Wednesday or anything like that. It was just like we used to call it high school reunions. This was our 8-year high school reunion. This is our 2-year high school reunion is what we used to call it. But I guess that's probably a thing to people. Yeah. Like all over the country that like they would call it the Blackout Wednesday because it is like legitimately like the biggest drinking night of the year because everybody knew you could wake up the next day, you'd be cooking, you'd have great food that soaked up all the alcohol from the night before, you would have a few mimosas during the day, you'd have a couple glasses of wine with dinner, and then you would go to bed at like 6 o'clock and then you would wake up on Friday feeling perfectly fine.
Right. Yeah. And then you have that whole Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Right. So I'm guessing that's why tonight you're able to just lose it and blackout, as they call it. And you have Friday off, Saturday off, Sunday off to kind of recover before, you know, the Christmas, I guess, holiday starts where you do this whole tradition all over again.
Yeah. Some of us carry the tradition out further into the year than others is how I'll say it. tonight on the show, we're going to be talking about the Lakers beating the San Antonio Spurs 119-101. I swear speaking is a lot less painful tonight than it was yesterday. So, I can still hear myself. I still don't sound very good, but I swear it feels a lot better to talk than it did yesterday. I also have Raj here to help get us through this too. So we'll talk about that win. We'll talk about the new starting lineup, the new starting lineup as Dalton Kennett gets in there. Cam Reddish gets out of there. Some interesting plus minuses from this game, including Cam Reddish, interestingly enough. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I also want to talk, Raj, about who the Lakers are, right? Like this notion of like, you know, are they just mediocre, you know? And if so, what would that mean for like our outlook for the rest of the season and our hopes that the front office would invest further into this team? So we'll talk a little bit about that. D'Angelo Russell went off tonight. This was his first game scoring more than 20 points in a game tonight. So I want to talk about the game that he played tonight. Was it just a matter of hitting shots, or was it was there something in particular that we saw from him that might be sustainable moving forward? But let's first look at this game individually. Again, 119 to 101 is the final. Second night of a back-to-back. Fortunately, the Lakers were well-rested because they got their asses kicked in Phoenix the night before.
Mm-hmm.
You had, yeah, I guess, oh no, D'Lo didn't cross 20 points. I don't know where I got that 26 number from. Anyway, the player who led the way is Dalton Knecht with 20 points.
Yeah.
D'Lo finished with 17. Max had 12. You had AD with 19. You had Rui and LeBron with 16. You had Austin with 13. Very balanced scoring in this one. I don't know if that's a sustainable equation here moving forward. For the Spurs, you had the Lakers kept Wemby in check. He only scored 20 points on the night, on 2 of 9 from 3-point range. You know, Raj...
Weird game. Mm-hmm.
This is the thing that makes me feel oldest in NBA discourse. Mm-hmm. I want my 7-5 guys shooting at the rim, like close to the rim.
Yeah,
more often than Wemby does. Harrison Barnes, fresh off of the Western Conference Player of the Week, he finished with 19. Champagne finished with 18. Other than that, you had Devin Vassell finish with 14. For the most part, fairly quiet offensive night here for most of the San Antonio Spurs. Raj, what do you think was the key in the Lakers beating the Spurs 119 to 101?
Yeah, just starting with Wemby, I think like for him, you would like success to kind of be your guide. And like his three was just never close. I think he hit one jab step three that kind of went in that was contested. But other than that, I thought his shot was off. And the Spurs... Anthony, I hope they never find a number two that can like get in the basketball in consistent places. Chris Paul can do it at times, but obviously Chris Paul with his age is just not the same player that he used to be in. But they surround him with like bucket getting guys and Devin Vassell. Stephon Castle is a nice kind of, you know, distributor type of player, but he's a young rookie. Honestly, you know, I thought the Lakers were just more focused and I thought they played harder tonight. I thought there was a bigger energy level. I like the D'Lo, you know, attack back at Chris Paul. I actually like that moment.
Yeah.
You called that, you know, his entrance into like Laker legends. But like, I just.
Finally a Laker.
Right. I just like the fight. And again, I just think Dalton entering that starting lineup, it just opens so much for the team. And I don't have this like any stat that can prove this exactly, but, or someone maybe who can. It's just. It feels like when Dalton starts, the Lakers are just more organized, Anthony. Like, they run more plays. They run more sets. And I feel like that also leads to better transition defense because shots are coming where the floor is more balanced. It feels like there's less freestyle going on. Dalton, 20 again. I think now he's averaging, like, 23 a game when he starts, which is just ridiculous. And you have that offensive – yeah, when you have that offensive package. For and I think
they'll,
yeah, for a rookie. And I think they're figuring out, like, LeBron, AD, Austin, and Dalton is kind of now – Dalton's kind of like jumped the fence of, you know, Rui and D'Lo and kind of entered like that stratosphere of he's one of your core offensive guys that we run stuff around. Like we put Dalton in action so other guys get open, which like those other guys, Anthony, that I just named are LeBron James and Anthony. Like that's the part of the thing that I think is so fascinating watching him play. And again, the Spurs aren't the Denver Nuggets, right? Like, and they're not even the Phoenix Suns. So like, you can't really judge to me, like this doesn't change my huge kind of outlook on how those games went, but it was a good win. I thought they got back in transition a lot better than they have. I thought their defensive focus and engagement was much better. And Wemby helped a lot in this by, I don't know, taking half court threes and just all kinds of stuff that you're like, all right, thank you. You know, you have Austin Reeves on you and you take a jab step three. Thank you very much, sir. We'll go the other way.
Real quick about Dalton, and I we're going to talk a little bit of him a little bit about him later in the show too. But there was a moment in this one that I really singled out, and LeBron like made a pass that wasn't quite on target to Dalton, and normally if that happens and like that, I think Dalton still caught it, but still wasn't quite in rhythm enough to shoot it. And they like, there was a couple positions went by. LeBron's going back from the time, you know, into the timeout, into the huddle. And he like recalls the pass that he made. And he like calls back at Dalton. And he was like, hey, dude, like my bad, you know? And like my mom's like least favorite thing about LeBron is that he never says my bad. Like he just like never acknowledges that. Like you have to be at like a certain level to get a my bad from LeBron. You know,
yeah, it doesn't pass those out.
And like when I saw that from LeBron, there was another pass a little bit later that LeBron put on target. Dalton finished with a dunk at the rim. And LeBron just like very, you know, just kind of like he's very in tune with Dalton. I actually think he's kind of recreating the relationship on court that he had with like J.R. Smith. You know, where JR wasn't exactly the brightest bulb in the box, but he was like, dude, this dude is a fucking bucket, right? This guy can, you know, if he's open, he's going to knock it down out there. If he cuts and I see him there, he can finish at the rim because JR Smith was crazy athletic too. And then we'll just ignore what happens on the defensive end. You know, but I kind of feel like he's developing that rapport with Dalton here that is really fun to watch. And I think a really kind of important moment here was where he threw that pass just like slightly off target to Dalton. And it meant that Dalton wasn't able to get off a clean look, or I don't think he even shot because the pass was kind of off. And he's going back to the huddle, and LeBron's like looking back at Dalton, kind of remembers that he made that pass and goes, hey dude, my bad. And I was like, I can count on one finger how many players LeBron has said my bad to so far in his Lakers tenure. And I think that like those are those little minor moments that really effing matters.
LeBron will test how much he can trust you. You know, like he'll continue to trust that. Like if you're hot, he's going to just keep feeding you. I remember this game last year where D'Lo was on fire, and D'Lo, I think I was at the game, and D'Lo tried, I think it was against Milwaukee, and D'Lo tried to give it back to LeBron. LeBron's like, what are you doing? Like, you're free. You have not missed in like 10 minutes. Why are you handing the ball back to me? There was a play. So Dalton, obviously, he hits two threes right away in the first quarter. And it's like, oh, yeah, this is the guy that should be starting. But then there was a play, Anthony. Just, again, this is the trust stuff. He goes and sets a screen for LeBron, then slips it because San Antonio doesn't, you know, read it right. And then it's like Harrison Barnes on him. Just super relaxed, catches the ball, turn around, fade away, cash. And it reminds me a lot of, like, the Kings' Keegan Murray. Like, Dalton won't, like – there's very little facial kind of emotion from him. So he hits the fadeaway and he just goes back down, and LeBron looks at him like, oh, like you're one of those dudes. That was not a normal just NBA basket. LeBron's like, hey, like good job. Cause LeBron will usually just go back the other way sometimes, but like he made sure to like give Dalton, like, you know, adapts for hitting that. A lot of plays like that, a lot of stuff where he's coming off screens, getting floaters. I don't know, like 20 point a game guy averages for a rookie already. Like he's entering some conversations where I'm pretty now confident that he's kind of part of your offensive core. And I know we'll get into like what the team is, you know, later on, but this Dalton breakout party feels like it just keeps going. Like the party was supposed to end two nights ago and the lights continue to stay on. The music continues to play. This is huge, and LeBron's trust gains. You could tell AD's trust gain is getting higher. Dalton even gave him the, you know, every time the Lakers do like a cool assist, they put their, you know, they do the binocular thing. I saw Dalton do that tonight for the first time. AD, so he's obviously really gaining the trust of the team. And to your point, that's really huge.
Yeah, I think it makes it a little complicated because your foot speed, if your backcourt is Dalton and Austin, is a little lacking, you know, on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. But like for the time being, this is the, you know, I think identity that the Lakers have to have. I think I saw Andy Kamenetsky on ESPN, and he was like, the least flawed, you know, version of the Lakers is one where they're just trying to outscore teams, you know, and you know, we talked, you know, it's here on the right side of your guys' screen. the new starting lineup, starting lineup tonight, the Lakers went with Austin, Dalton, Rui, LeBron, and AD. Now, I thought after it didn't work with they went back to Cam and Rui, right? When Cam came back.
Yes, when Rui came back. Yes, they went back.
The first couple games, it was Cam and Rui.
Yes.
And then, you know, Dalton is a better player than Cam is right now. So basically, they went with like their most talented lineup that's still split up, Austin and D'Lo. And that's how you arrive at Austin, Dalton, Rui, LeBron, and AD, the lineup that you thought that they would maybe go to when Rui came back. So they kind of split the difference between the way that you and I thought it would kind of play out. What did you think of the new starting group?
Yeah, again, against the Spurs, it's tough to judge entirely. Rui Hachimura hit a bunch of threes against.
They're still playing pretty good ball, though. Like, this isn't like a tanking Portland Trailblazers team, you know?
No, for sure.
This isn't the Jazz.
No, it's not. But I just think they don't punish you on the offensive end as much as other teams. Like, a serious team would have said, we are scrapping the playbook, and if the Lakers want to switch everything, Wemby's, you know, going into the post, and we're making sure like that's something we run every time. They got some stuff out of that, but a lot of times there's a lot of just junky offense that they were running. I think it looked fine. And my thing with this, Anthony, and I think it loses Rui in terms of his role, which is why I've been an advocate kind of maybe putting Rui on the bench and starting Cam and having D'Lo and Rui be your like offensive punches coming off the second unit. But tonight it was good. I think the offense ran pretty smooth. Rui, again, is still a threat, so it does help there. It's just the foot speed concern that you have with Austin and Dalton. I have that same concern with like Dalton and Rui kind of as your swing players there, your non-LeBron swing players, especially against teams that have a lot of, you know, players that can attack off the bounce. But tonight it looked good. I thought Rui, again, looked like he attacked closeouts correctly. You know, he got to the rim. He hit some threes. The guy, hopefully we get to, I thought Max looked really interesting with that group. A confident Max looks really interesting with that group, but the starters work tonight. I think Rui's role, like, this isn't the correct fit for him, right? Like, if Rui's a guy that's just taking threes, I think you lose the value of Rui Hachimura. And I can tell he's still kind of lost in what he's supposed to be, because we're running plays for Dalton. LeBron and AD are going to get their touches. Austin's going to run his ball screens. It's kind of like Rui, you know, you fit in where you get in. And he did fit in nicely tonight with a Spurs team that can't really handle him when he gets inside. But yeah, stars look fine. I'm still a proponent, though, Anthony. I don't know about you. I'm still a proponent of Rui kind of going to the bench and starting another kind of defensive minded, you know, swingman, whether that's Cam, whether that's Vando when he returns or whatever it is. I think that starters need just a little balance, you know, defensively to get to where they want to be.
The Max thing, I want to talk about Max here in a little bit. The Rui, so Rui starting tonight, I think makes sense just from a get talent on the court. Because the thing about starters, everybody, like, there's a cliche that kind of formed, I would say, over the last like 5 to 7 years or so, where people just say, you know, it doesn't matter who starts the game, it matters who finishes it. Mm-hmm. And that's true to a certain extent, but your starters still wind up playing like
a lot
more together than any other lineup that plays together.
Yeah, it's important. But
like, starters do matter, you know, like this 100%. Idea, like, I remember arguing this back when Caruso was on the team, and I was like, hey, can we just start Caruso? Like, he's clearly the best player that plays alongside LeBron and AD. Can we just like get him out there? Because back then the infatuation was with Rajon Rondo and it was with Avery Bradley. And it was like, nah, can we just get the better player out there? Caruso's still in the league, by the way. I don't think is Rondo or Bradley in the league?
No, I think Rondo's trying to get coaching jobs, and I have no idea where Avery Bradley is now.
And so like the starters do matter. And I think from that standpoint, it makes sense to give Rui the first bite at the apple here and continue to go back to that. But I think eventually, you know, to your point about Cam and why you would maybe think that Cam would have gotten that spot instead of Rui tonight, I think that's where Vando might eventually get there, because Vando's the more talented player than Cam over Rui. So, like, we'll see how this goes. I think, you know, fortunately, unfortunately, depending on how you're looking at this, they're going to have a little bit of runway here before Vando gets healthy. And we'll be able to find out, like, you know, what this group can kind of look like over a pretty decent sample size. I think this is going to be the starting group here moving forward for the next, like, 10, 15 games or so. And I don't know. Just from a sheer identity standpoint, I'm really excited to see what this group can eventually kind of figure itself out to be. I get the point that you're making about, like, it kind of wastes Rui because he doesn't have to be a safety valve if you're running sets for Dalton. Right. And, you know, making Rui just a spot-up shooter is a bit of a waste for him. But if you're making – if Rui actually sticks with being a weak side cutter or crashing the boards from the weak side on those plays where Dalton is shooting from the other side of the court, like, offensively, I think there's still a role for Rui. And then defensively, obviously there's a bit of a, there's a big concern there with him compared to Cam. But if you're forcing the other team to take the ball out of the rim,
yeah,
the way that group does, and if you're forcing the other team, even on possessions that you don't score, to go out and try to score in transition against a balanced court that's now getting back on defense, that's how you make Rui a better defensive player than he is.
Yeah, I could see it. And again, I think this is a lot for me just watching Rui now for, you know, however long he's been a Laker. Those are just things that I think are outside of his, you know, that the stuff that he wants to do. And like the perfect guy, again, not to talk about him now, but like you just watch how Max plays, you watch how Cam plays. There's a level of like athleticism at the perimeter spot that I feel like we're missing with Dalton and Austin and Rui out there. It's just slow. And again, the Spurs aren't the team to take advantage of that. They just don't run the type of offense, or, you know, they just don't have the ball handling that attacks you in that way. But yeah, if Rui can kind of give them that. And I've just, you know, the last few days, I feel like it's been all about the Lakers don't have defensive personnel. And I agree with that to an extent. But I feel like Rui, LeBron, and AD should be a power group. It's just, I don't see that enough. Rui's like a finesse power big, which is like a weird sentence to like say out loud, right? But that's what he is. He's a power player on like some possessions, but for the most part, he's a finesse big that really translates on the defensive end. And I think we're just missing somebody that can mix it up on the inside, that boxes out really hard and, you know, really fights for boards. And that's not stuff that likes that really, really does, especially when he's not offensively engaged. So I'm just trying to, like, I guess, maximize Rui while also balancing the starting lineup. But I'm with you. I agree with you. I think this is going to be the stars for a while. I think JJ is going to let success be his guide on this. If the Lakers start losing, they have OKC on Friday, right? That's a, you know, that's a really good team that they're going to play. We'll see how that game goes and see if they can kind of build momentum on it. But yeah, I just think eventually, you know, you said they'll be without Vando, but I think he's kind of the guy you would hope to kind of fill in here. Yeah. And if this Max Christie stuff is real, then I think that opens some doors to Max hit threes. He was, you know, I thought he was flying around on defense. He was athletic. That he just gives you an athletic profile that I think this team needs. But yeah, if Rui can play this role, if they're, you know, scoring at the rate they are, they're already a top four offense while getting nothing from the bench pretty much on a nightly basis. I think that can help the team, but I would like just to see one more defender in there. Maybe I'm just, you know, being picky with the starters. But like you said, the starters play a lot. They also play against the other team's best unit, like, and they usually close the game. That's just kind of how sometimes a six man will close. But usually your starters also close the game. I think it is important to find a starting group that can build some chemistry. But tonight looked good, and you know, I think this is going to be a very, very potent offense at least at the minimum, and we'll see how much that can build on wins.
To your point about Max, his last five games, Raj, mm-hmm. he's playing almost 19 minutes a game. He's only scoring about 6 points a game, and so like a lot of these sample sizes are very, very small. But he's shooting 63% from the field, and he is hitting 43% of his threes. Again, very small sample sizes, but like, it's those baby steps, you know, that you need from somebody as young as he is. The thing about Max is like, he has been in the league longer than Dalton, but he's like 3 years younger than Dalton.
Yeah. Very, you know? Weird.
And, like I think of their core rotation, he's easily the youngest. And like as somebody who I grew up as like the youngest player on all of my sports teams, I always played up, and I actually like entered school a year early. My mom was that sick of me. She was just like, get the hell out of my house. Go learn your alphabet and your numbers and shit. Like, just get out of my house. No, that's not actually what it was. But it can be kind of daunting to be the youngest guy in a team that has real aspirations, really trying to like build towards something. You have that kind of inherent imposter syndrome. And I think sometimes when I watch Max out there, you know, he had a dunk at the rim, obviously, and he was like it came off of, I think somebody hit a three, and then he like back cut, and LeBron found him on the baseline, and he dunked it. Probably should have been an M1. And after he finished it, he like kind of landed on his butt, was running back down the court, and you can kind of like. You could literally watch him looking around the court like, guys, did you see that? Did you see the play I just made? Should have been fouled. Did you see the play I just made? And like I think like these are the kind of like the steps that you're gonna watch him take over the course of the year as he kind of plays into the role that makes the most sense for the Lakers and B is the one that they paid him for.
You know, it's funny. I was, you know, at the South Bay game last night, and they were playing the San Diego Clippers. So that team has his brother, Cam Christie. And obviously, I'm only child, Anthony, but like, it's so crazy to watch how exact like their mannerisms and how they move, and even like like when they get hit with these, like they make these same kind of move and complaint for a foul. But I'm watching Cam, like, man. Because he was drafted as a better shooter than Max, and even like some people thought he could be a little bit more ready, even though he went a little bit behind him in the draft selection, but in a better draft, I think. But I'm like, oh, he has the same issues Max does, like the exact same little slow release, can't really get a shot off yet, you know, doesn't really have the body that'll fill in. But then you watch Max today, his athleticism popped, and you know, sometimes, you know, growth isn't linear, and you just like sometimes players,
it's, you know, never linear.
Yeah, but I think like
I'm somebody who was raised. I have raised one kid to be a toddler, and I'm working on kid number two, who's 2 years old. I am telling you, like, growth is not linear. The other day, so I had a meeting with Darius and Pete from LFR, and like right before our meeting, Avery had figured out how to open up the front door, and she walked across the street. Now fortunately I live on a cul-de-sac, and it's a very safe neighborhood that I live in, but she walked across the street and asked if she could just go and play at her best friend's house. And it's like, she is the sweetest, best little girl. And she did something that was so wrong. Like, it was the biggest fuck up she's made in her life to this point. And it was like, I couldn't even be angry at her because I was angry at her, but I was like, I was so taken aback by her making such a big mistake that I didn't really know what to do. I was like, Avery, you're in big trouble. Just go in your room. I can't talk to you right now because I don't know how to handle this moment. And it's like, you know, I was like terrified because for a second there, she wasn't in my house. And like when we look at, you know, any number of these, you know, prospects that come into the league, none of the very, very, very few of these guys have linear progressions, right? Like we happen to watch somebody or a couple of guys on this team that have fairly linear progressions in Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Those guys tend to have it figured out pretty quickly. And then they kind of grow at a pretty gradual rate from that point forward. Basically everybody else, it's like, well, you know, you have your good days, your bad days, you have your, you know, you have days where you feel like you plateau, and then you maybe need to take a step back for a second. That's what we basically watched here with Max, and that's not even counting the fact that Darvin Ham seemed to openly hate the guy last year.
Right. And so that's why I think, you know, not comparing them, but that's why like Dalton just feels special, right? Because it feels like the league kind of figured him out, and he's still able to get shots, right? The whole league, Anthony, is running at him, flying at him, and somehow he's still getting, like, the three or four open shots he gets a game, he's knocking down, he's attacking closeouts. But with Max, yeah, it just feels like the game has slowed down for him. And, like, I think that's really important for a young player like that. You talked about all the reasons, you know, maybe he started slow, and one of them, too, is you just got paid, right? So there's expectations on top of that. Once you get paid, there are expectations of being an actual rotation player. Last year, he was the, you know, kid that can do no wrong, right? Every single thing that was wrong with the Lakers was like, hey, you got to play Max. And Max is sitting there, and I'm sure loving that, not loving that he's not playing as much as he wanted to, but.
Could you imagine? He's sitting there like, love it. Keep talking shit on cam.
Yeah, keep talking about Taurean Prince. Just keep it going. This contract is going to roll
they
in.
They suck, right? They're terrible. Yeah,
his agent just absolutely pushing that out. But you could tell now the game's starting to slow down. It's crazy how basketball works, Andy, because you talked about the dunk he got. He got a few, like, finishes at the rim, hit a nice drive and kick as well. And then he had a transition three. I was like, oh, that's going in, because he's feeling so good right now. Yeah. I know that shot is going in. And D'Lo shoveled it to him, hit a three, and kind of did the, you know, D'Lo ice in his vein celebration. But I know we talked about it before the season started. I thought Max being good is, like, so vital to this team, wherever this team wants to go. Wherever their ceiling is, Max being good is a part of it. And it feels like he's, you know, at least increasing and getting better with each game. This felt like a Max breakout game. He kind of joined the Dalton party. Dalton party was going on, and Max is like, can I come in? He came in and kind of joined the party, too. I think they're over 21. They can hit the party.
Yeah. Yeah, just barely. Max just barely, literally just barely.
Right.
Dalton has been over 21 a little bit.